Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what you gonna do now? Heard you got some new friends. Now make me nervous, the thing they say, cut me like a knife. Do I still figure hardly know your face? Got a brand new glove I cannot trace. It's the tender way you look, the way you smile, and think that you once took me for your wife. Do I still figure in your life? Do you.
How pretty is that, folks? Well, welcome in, friends, to the Jazz Mill. I am your host, Scott Henderson, and for the next 60 minutes or so, we are going to do our best to entertain you with some of the best artists and music on the planet. As always, we invite your calls at 515-602-9600. That's 515-602-9600, or you can use our chat room if you would please. Hey, here's a fun fact. Did you know that researchers at Oxford, yes, Oxford, that one, recently found a correlation between high IQ and those who favor jazz, and that the more that people listen to jazz, the smarter they became, which is very good news to me. I'll tell you that for free. On top of that, the overwhelming majority of jazz lovers tend to floss daily. They recycle. They're kind to small animals, and most even have their own Netflix subscription. So that's all good from where I sit. Let's punch up our Jazz Mill co-host and segment producer, Greg Rockingham, who has been keeping the beat since he was only 5 years old. He is an alumnus of the prestigious Interlochen Arts Academy and Northeastern University. Greg has worked with Nancy Wilson, Freddie Cole, Kenny Burrell, Glenn Miller, Steely Dan, and many more. Presently, he is with the Soul Message Band, and they are, in my humble opinion, the hottest B3 combo east of the Mississippi, and can be heard weekly at Chicago's historic Green Mill and elsewhere in the Midwest. What do you say, G-Rock? How are you, pal?
I'm doing well, doing well. Happy that the spring has finally come, and I'm tired of
winter. Spring is here.
I'm doing well.
Spring is here,
yeah,
yes.
I'm doing much better.
I'm counting on it, and today we have to folks listening around the world at this point, Greg, did you know we're in 37 countries at this point? We've got a guy in Kenya that loves our show. We've got people all over the place, and so whatever we're doing, I guess it's catching on. We're about 24 shows deep at this point, folks, and we've had numerous Grammy Award winners and lots and lots of nominees, and just a bunch of talented people have graced these airwaves with their time and wonderful comments and observations and energy, and we're so pleased to have one coming on up here in a second. But I wanted to ask you a quick question, Greg. Do you work out? I think I know the answer to this, but do you work out?
Yeah, on occasion.
little bit.
I do.
Well, that's kind of my story. Yes.
Yeah.
I joined the gym and vowed to go. Joined the gym yesterday, as a matter of fact, and vowed to go every day. So far, I've only missed once. So I don't know. Probably not a good sign that I spent 30 minutes looking for a good parking spot, right? One that I wouldn't have to walk more than 10 steps. I don't know. I've got the wrong attitude about it, but I digress. Well, hey, that beautiful music you heard at the top of the broadcast is that of Carla Harris. For decades, she has been thrilling audiences from Providence to Provence with her rich, even buttery vocal treatment and original compositions, as well as those from The Great American Song, which she makes wonderful choices. Welcome in, Carla. Delighted to meet you. Greg and I are.
Hello. It's great to be here. It's an honor to be with you both. Meet you over the phone.
It's all good. And our village is strong. We jazz lovers have got to stick together. And our show is. I want you to think of these as your airwaves going forward. We want to help in any way we can, particularly people who, you know, write their own stuff and have a love of the Great American Songbook, which is, you know, what I grew up, listening to. My parents saw to that. We had a gigantic, it was an entertainment center, they called it. And this thing was, 8 feet across, and it had a TV in the middle, but it had a turntable on one end and a radio on the other and a record collection next to it. And those records that my parents spun were very instrumental. I'd be curious if you had the same experience, Carla, in your childhood. I know there was music in your home, wasn't there?
Definitely. And I had the same thing. Now, we had these this whole wall of shelves that my father built. And
he built them.
There was a turntable. He built them, and they were very cool. It was very 70s cool, okay? And
yes.
And there was a turntable and cassette tapes and a stack of vinyl, you know, a stack of album, and a very eclectic collection of music, you know, everything from, you know, the pop of it. Billie Holiday was in there, Nancy Wilson, The Fifth Dimension, Sammy Davis Jr., Barbara Streisand, you know, R&B, Friends of Distinction. You know, just a lot of great music. And I didn't have any professional musicians in my family. I didn't have anybody like that as a role model, but just a lot of music lovers. And my dad liked to sing around the house. And
he did.
And, so I don't know. He enjoyed that.
I think these are signs of wellness in a home when you have good music being played and good or bad song put to voice, right? I mean, that's a sign of something's right that's happening there. And when you can sing freely and without judgment or any of that, it's a healthy health.
I agree. He would wake us up. I mean, that would be Saturday morning. He would come into our bedrooms and wake us up with, you know, a rousing chorus of "It's time to get up in the morning." And
very, very pragmatic. That's so great. Yeah, I can't remember my folks singing, but they had a record collection, and I'll bet your folks had this one. Greg, did your folks have Herb Albert?
Herb Albert, yes.
They had it, right?
Yes.
The one with the lady
with the whipped cream.
Everybody had to have that one. There's no question. Yeah. It was like obligatory. If you didn't have that one, they wouldn't let you into the country club or whatever. But they had some good stuff.
Right.
Not like you're describing, though, Carla. You had some real jazz. You know, some real. We had big band stuff. My mother was quite a little dancer. My dad not so much, but my mom was a very good ballroom dancer, and she grew up during that whole era around the Second World War, when there was a lot of big band stuff going on, and Greg was a big part of that with Glenn Miller and others in his musical past. And so I think we all have, you know, some of that fixed into our taste. And I'm just so thankful for it, because, you know, it could have just as easily not been the case. I mean, my folks might have been into other things, and we might, you know, we might not have had this kind of joy in our lives, because, you know, good music is about as fun as anything I do at this point. And for you two, being able to make good music must just be other next level stuff. And I'm really envious of you. So, well, good. Thank you for sharing that. I know as we give our listeners a sampling of one of your songs here, we're going to play a few of them, but one of them in particular caught my ear. I wonder if you could set up for us, Carla, "When Michael" is the tune title, and it's from your most recent record, as I understand it. Talk a little bit about how that one came together, please.
Well, "When Michael" was a song that I wrote in kind of partnership with a song that I had written previously called "Set Sophia Free." And not to get too woo-woo, but Sophia is Greek for wisdom, and it's one of the names for the divine feminine. And so I had written this song about that, and then I wanted to write a song about the sacred masculine. And so that's what "When Michael" became. It's really just kind of like a spiritual exploration for me in a little swing tune.
Oh, totally had my toe going every which way, no doubt about it. That makes it even better, knowing that backstory. Who's playing with you on this one, Carla?
This is Randy Porter, who is a Steinway artist, a very fine pianist who's in Portland.
Yep.
Let's see, we've got Jeff Johnson on the bass, who's out of Seattle, and Todd Strait is another Portland drummer who's playing drums on it.
Yes, wonderful stuff. Let's give this a spin.
since she met Michael in the moonlight. Michael appeared, the living and longing, the singing and songing, the cycle when Michael is near. For so long, she hoped to see him her whole life, till he came along. A butterfly lighting the sudden realizing of sunshine when Michael touched down. Sweet like a diver, he sat down beside her, no longer a myth. And heaven on some whim relented to send him. There's no coming back from this bliss. In a heartbeat, she recognized Michael. She's known him from ages ago. The being and doing and sweet deja vu wing when Michael comes close. A diver, he sat down beside her, no longer a myth. That heaven on some whim relented to send him. There's no coming back from this bliss. In a heartbeat, she recognized Michael. She knows him from ages ago. The being and doing and sweet deja vu wind, a butterfly lighting the sun realizing, the moon that is shining, a crescent reclining, the wind that is blowing, a beautiful knowing, the wine that is pouring, and you she's adoring. The cymbals are ringing and someone is singing. Time is stopping, her world is rocking when my car
pitch perfect, oh. Greg, listening to that. Wow, that phrasing. You can see where they get buttery from, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. Swinging,
just,
swinging.
Just swinging, man. my ear was going to my shoulder. Both feet were tapping, Carla. You had me. Hook, line, sinker. That's a wonderful tune. Yeah,
I never
get tired. It's that swing, that chug, that pull and push, and mm-hmm. when you combine it with wonderfully capable lyrics, I mean, that is everything. That did well, if I have it right, at the International Songwriting Competition. Can you talk a little bit about that experience for us?
No, well, let's see, they chose, they had three of them, I think, that
yep.
two or three of them that made it into the semifinalist category.
Yep.
That was a big thrill because there's, for me, as an artist, the songwriting is probably the most thrilling thing to write to have something that you have an idea of in your head and then to go through the process where it's actually out there. And it's in the air, and people are listening to it, and you get a positive reaction to it, or some kind of reaction to it, which that song, I had people come up who, you know, who just had people in their lives named Michael, or people who were so intrigued by the you know, the lyrical content of the song. And that to me is just the most fun of anything, is the songwriting when it goes over.
Yeah.
It's terrific. Yeah.
That's the highest praise possible when they can tell you about a way it touches them. I can imagine that.
Yeah.
I can't relate fully like you guys can, but that is that's a winner. I mean, that's a winner. In 100 years, that one's a winner. And it would hold every bit of its own if you went back 100 years. I can tell you that is a world-class bit of writing and singing, Carla. So, you know, when you're,
thanks
when you're capable
so much.
Of that, it must inspire you to do lots and lots more. I know you've done some cover work as well, and I want to talk a little bit about what the great honor that the Dave Brubeck Estate placed upon you to make records of some of his amazing music. Talk a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure, love to. Yeah, I was in 2014. A pianist and composer and arranger by the name of Ted Howe, who he was from L.A., but he spent a lot of time here in Atlanta, and that's where I met him. He'd had this idea tucked away for years to do a project of vocal versions. Now, of course, you know, Carmen McRae had recorded live versions of some of his songs, but nobody had gone into the studio and done a complete studio project like that. So he heard me. We got, you know, to know each other, and he asked me, "Would you like to do this? I think you'd be, you know, the right person to work with on it." And of course, I jumped on that. So,
yeah, I would say.
There was little hesitation, and we started looking for the official lyrics. Couldn't find.
Yeah.
There were like varied versions of things online. So, got in touch with the estate, the Brubeck Estate, and we found out that there was an old songbook that had been published, I think, in the 70s with all of the lyrics that had been written by Iola Brubeck, Dave's wife of 70 years. And the family attorney, it was just amazing. So the family attorney, the state attorney, got in touch with her, and she said, "I think I have a copy of that somewhere in a file cabinet or something, and somewhere around here." And next thing I know, we have a photocopy of this songbook in the mail to us. And I'm holding this, you know, knowing that it came from Iola Brubeck, and they gave us permission to do the first, you know, all vocal studio version of this music. And there were things in there that we didn't even know, you know, we had no idea existed, like the a verse to "Strange Metal Lark" that even these musicians who had loved Brubeck's music and knew everything about it, they thought, didn't even know that existed. Pretty much everything had lyric written by Iola. And there were some real surprises in there. So Ted arranged, he arranged it, and he tried to do an arranging for some of the songs. He took like a more contemporary bent too, and some of them were straight ahead. Some of them were very, very true to the way Dave Brubeck approached music, which is to say, with a lot of freedom, some risk-taking, new ideas, and sometimes bombastic. And
yes, a little bit of that. Absolutely. Good choice of words.
Right.
No question about it.
But very true to him. And we recorded it in L.A., in 2015, and had some a few of the cuts, you know, were played, you know, have been played around the world on international radio, and it got great critical response. So
yeah, you guys nailed it, no question about it. I know for some, and we hear people that listen to this show, Carl, all the time, and they're like, "Well, you know, I didn't think I liked jazz, but you guys opened me up a little bit. You're playing stuff that I didn't, you know, what is jazz?" You know, I mean, I think it's quite definitional, quite personal. But in Brubeck's case, And we did a show not long ago on free jazz and avant-garde jazz, and for some that's just a big pill to swallow right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, you know, people that start there don't get far beyond it, because it sounds, you know, it's hard to find the 2 and the 4 beat, you know, when you can't hear anything
right.
You can really relate to. So you can see where you lose them. But Greg has helped me understand. One of the things we do each show is we break down a tune in such a way where I think it just makes it more consumable, and I hope it opens up some ears to, you know, even kind of complicated time signatures. And certainly Dave Brubeck, mm-hmm. as I've seen him once in my life, he was capable of some complicated stuff and made it work
mm-hmm.
all the same. But folks will know Take Five, I guess arguably his biggest hit. Would you agree? Seems like that's one that most people are familiar with.
Yeah, his most popular.
Most popular.
And it was a crossover hit. So, you
yes,
know,
right.
It was a big radio hit and big on the charts.
Yep.
And
yep.
When we approached it, Ted wanted to arrange it a little bit differently, and he actually changed the iconic vamp, which I thought, oh my gosh, what are you doing, Ted?
That's gutsy.
I thought either we're going to be pioneers and people will greet us, or we will have arrows in our back. I don't know, but but I tell you,
well.
The contemporary version of it was so much fun to do. Musicians totally dig it. They love playing it when I do it live, and that's the one that's gotten the most radio play around the world as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you guys nailed it. There's no question about that. And even with its differences, that makes it all the more fun for people who have heard the other version or versions of it over the years. Mm. Let's give our listeners a peek here.
Stop and take a little time out with me. Just take five. Just take five. Stop your busy day and take the time out to see if I'm alive. If I'm alive. Though I'm going out of my way just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and not a place. Still I know I'll rise up and meet. I feel tingles down through my feet. When you smile that's much too discreet. Sends me on my way. Wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? You could offer a light. Offer of a light. Start a little conversation now, it's alright. Just take five, just take a lie, offer of a lie. And
Start a little conversation, now it's all right. Just take five, just take five.
So pretty. I don't want to step on any of that. A perfect confluence of voice and instrumentation and composition, arrangement, everything working optimally in that recorded version of the Brubeck tune Take Five. And boy, I'll tell you, you showed off your range there, Carla. That would make Mariah Carey blush, if you want my opinion. I'll tell it to you if you'd like. Now that's really good stuff. So that there's a whole album, I think 11 in all, Carla, if I have it right. And,
right.
I'm going to encourage people. We're going to, on our Blog Talk Show portal, which many of you are hearing us on right now, you will find Carla's website as well as all of her records. We're going to have a link to each of them. How many in all are there, Carla, at this point?
There are four with a fifth on the way. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. All very good,
high-quality
stuff.
I just wanted to mention that on the Brubeck project, that the musicians on that session were beyond Ted Howe, who arranged it and plays piano, is Hall of Fame drummer, Jazz Hall of Fame drummer Dave Weckl, and the great bassist Tom Kennedy, who tours all internationally as well. And then Bob Shepard was on the alto on that song.
Beautiful
killing
work.
Band.
Beautiful work across the board, and world class players, and you can really hear the quality. It is evident through and through, as are the other songs. They're just as they're equally wonderful, and I'll encourage people, those who like Brubeck will just adore this new, fresh treatment of his wonderful catalog. So they'll want to buy that up. That's what they're going to want to do. Just like I'm doing. I bought about 15 of your records already. So the singles, mind you, but I'm working my way towards the full archive. So you got another.
All right.
You got another one. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
This is how you do it, one brick at a time. And you know, we're not just one brick. We got a following out there, and I hope people will take us at our word when we recommend something. It is on the basis of what we truly adore. So good on you for making that easy for us. Talk a little bit about.
Thank you so much.
You, on top of all your talents, you've got a real benevolence about you, as I understand. And your Land of Music initiative. Talk a little bit about giving back, please.
Sure. Well, this was in the 90s, I was asked to help create a curriculum, a music theory curriculum for the little ones, for, grade schoolers. And I grew up taking some piano lessons, but I was always in music in school. We had music class, of course, and I was always in choir. And it was such an important part of having something that you're passionate about and having the ability to kind of cultivate that and nurture that. And in school, it's just essential to me. So this was a way to get music into the schools, to provide a way for students not only to experience music, but to understand the language of music, which is so good for, you know, the brain development. It's, you know, it uses math skills, it uses verbal skills. It's all encompassing. And so it was a real honor to help develop that curriculum all those years ago. And then, you know, fast forward to now, I teach at Kennesaw State University. I'm the artist in residence who developed their vocal jazz program in a very dynamic and longstanding jazz studies program. It's just a wonderful program, and started the vocal jazz component of it about 5 years ago. And so still loving to help people who are young and aspiring to, really do their thing.
Yeah, totally. And to arm them with tools that can help them either hear it more thoroughly, enjoy it more, or to perform it. I wonder if there is any advice, Carla, that you often dispense to young folks that are wanting to be performers. Are there any axioms or things that, you know, most often people are going to need to be mindful of if they want to be successful and make a career as you have in music?
Well, there are three things I think about. One was something that Freddie Cole said. I was talking to him along with a cousin of mine one night at Birdland in New York several years ago, and we were asking him what advice he would have for younger artists, and it was real simple. Freddie just said, keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And keep doing it. And, there's something about that, just every day putting one foot in front of the other and devoting something to your art and just keeping at it. Because if it's your passion, that will nurture you. Whether you are in front of people or not, that should nurture you. So I think of that. And then I also think of a couple of other quotes that I love. One is by the choreographer Debbie Allen, and she says, there's a difference between performing and artistry, and I would wish you artistry. And what does that mean to be an artist rather than just a performer? Well, as vocalists, we're storytellers, and we're digging into trying to tap emotionally and to create that emotional transference. You know, you become kind of like a divining rod for emotion and a way for people to express it themselves that can't, you know, that may not have any other means to let go of that thing or to feel that thing. So it's very therapeutic that way. And then, finally, a Billie Holiday quote, when you sing, always tell the truth. And especially when you're singing the Great American Songbook, when you're singing jazz, you can't get away with superficiality. If you want to connect.
People hear that, don't they?
They can smoke
that out. And in Billy's game, every word counted. I hear the same in yours, Carla. Every word could stand alone if it had to. And I think that's sometimes what you don't hear in some vocalists and even instrumentalists. Every note should count. And, you know, and if it can stand by itself and be credible, I think you're halfway home. You make some of the same points that a friend of our show, you may know Nina Freeland. She's a Southerner like Southerner like yourself. I think she's in Durham these days. But we asked her a similar question, and she said some of the same things that you said. But the first one made me think of her answer. Greg, you remember when she said, as far as keep doing it, she says, keep doing it and don't wait for, you know, perfect conditions to keep doing it. You know, sometimes people, I got to go to New York to keep doing it. And
yep.
She says, you know, put your roots down where you are, baby, and do it there.
That's right.
And do it and be the best you can be there. And, you know, if it's in the stars, you'll get to those other places, but you're going to learn every step of the way, and you know, don't waste time. The meter is running, right? And you never know where
true.
Your brakes are going to come from.
And why is perfectionism the goal anyway? Perfectionism should not be the
Thank
goal.
You.
You know, I tell my students, I said, when you're recording, because a lot of them are so locked up, you know, they want to record something, but they want it to be perfect. And I said, that's not the point. A recording is it's a marker, it's a mile marker in where you are in your pathway as an artist at that point in time. That's what it is.
Yes.
And so perfectionism is not the goal. It's just here's a snapshot of me in my pathway at this moment in time. Is there something here that speaks to you? Great.
Yeah, totally. That's yeah. bonus. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That? Yeah. Well, it's like you said a second ago. It's the difference between performing and artistry. You want them to find something deeper than just perfection. Perfection is great, and Greg will tell you a story if we ask him to. But he had the good experience of working with Steely Dan for a number of years, and they are famous for their seeking of perfection, and they would just go to all kinds of lengths to find it, and it would take them, you know, 5 years to make a record, and they made some good records, but I'm not sure that's the beat all end all. I mean, I'd rather an honest rendition of things rather than a perfect rendition. I think most would agree. So that seems to be kind of what you're implying. So, yeah, tell them the truth. Another one that's great. I mean, does this tune call to you? It must be hard. As I'm not a singer, it must be hard to sing songs that don't call to you, and you probably limit those if you're able, and maybe you don't do them at all. But when they touch you, I bet it's a lot easier to find, you know, the message within and the artistry within. Am I right about that?
You're absolutely right, and it's really golden when you find a song, when you find those songs, and you can go through, you know, you can go through dozens of songs before you find one that really not only speaks to you, but also just sits really well with your voice, because not always are the songs that you love right for you, you know? So,
Totally.
So that's very
that.
True.
And I think we all, like I said a minute ago, we all, sometimes we look backwards into that great American songbook for those types of songs. And it's just, you know, loaded with hundreds of, you know, wonderful medleys and melodies and you know, the arrangements are just incredible. I mean, it was a confluence of many things that came together at a point in time to even allow that to happen. And when it did, we were smart enough to record it. And, you know, one thing I always feel good about is that at this point in our technical evolution, we've got about 100 years of recorded music, Carla. So, you know, if we're interested, if we want to see where we've come from, and if we're not finding it in today's music, look back and then come back and start listening to some stuff that's happening now. And I just think it'll give you a different angle on it. And it might make for a richer experience, which is, you know, hopefully something that people can have happen to them. That's been my ride, at least. Talk about what's next. You mentioned this new record, Carla, you're working on. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Well, this is a record of all original compositions, and
oh, wow.
So I've been working on, I've been collaborating with Tom Kennedy, the bassist Tom Kennedy that I mentioned was on the Brubeck CD, who, you know, he's toured with people like Mike Stern and Ben Vereen and Rosemary Clooney. I mean, he was playing with Dizzy Gillespie when he was 13. And he's been kind of a mentor of mine over the years. And he called me up a couple of years ago, and he had started composing pretty in depth over the past several years. And And he was really in a creative period, and he said he'd like to do some lyrics, and would I collaborate with him and do lyrics for these compositions that he had and sing them. So we've been having a great time collaborating on that, and we are nearing completion. We are in the mixing stage of the project, and I hope that it's out by this summer. But yeah.
Ooh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
When that drops, as the kids say, you'll let us know, I hope, Carla. We'll get you back on and we'll promote
that. Oh, I would love
to. We'd be delighted to help with your previous recordings and certainly anything new that comes along for you. Are you keeping a performance schedule? I know you've done festivals, quite a lot of them in the past. What does this summer look like for you?
So this summer, I did quite a bit of traveling last year, not as much outside of the Southeast, but this summer I'm continuing going to different places in the Southeast, which I really enjoy. I like going to performing arts centers that are in communities that don't normally get a lot of live jazz. That's something that I kind of like that a lot. So doing that, local jazz series in the Georgia area.
Georgia is a great music state. I think you're in Atlanta, if I have it right, and there's a lot of good music there. I don't know what the dominant jazz venues are down there, but I know people love their jazz in the Deep South, and you're a huge part of that. I know for a fact, and just know that, as I said, these are your airwaves now, Carla. I want you to feel free coming back anytime you like. Just ring us up, and we'll make it happen. Your contact information, if you wouldn't mind sharing those coordinates, please.
Sure. So website is CarlaHarris.com, and it's Carla with a K. You must do Carla with a K.
Yes, got to have that K. That's right.
Got to have that K, right. So,
right.
CarlaHarris.com. And when you go there, there are social media links on the website. But, yeah.
Yep. You've got your Twitter and your everything on there, too. So, yeah, one stop, and they'll get you to the other respective places. Well, listen, been a real treat for Greg and I, and I wish you all the very best. And you keep swinging and staying safe. And good to see people starting to come out again, right? I know Greg performs all over the Midwest, and it seems like the masks are coming down and people are feeling safe and secure and attending and supporting live music. So keep doing it, my friend, and we will
That's
be speaking again
funny.
Soon, I suspect. All right.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, and it's been great to talk to you both. Thanks so much.
Stay well, friend.
Wonderful listening to you. Wonderful listening to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Greg. All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cheers.
Bye.
There she goes, Greg. Lovely. Talk about the it factor, Greg. She's got it, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Just charming. What a talent. It seems like we visit with people. I wish often that they were closer to us and we could get you and the Soul Message Band together with them and have them, work. I think of four or five that we've, come to know over these last 5 months, and boy, she'd be another good one that would fit right in with you guys.
Yes,
I bet
would.
You.
Yeah.
So
yes,
hey, let's
would.
Catch our breath here. I'm gonna we'll take a quick break, Greg, and then when we come back, we'll do the jazz flashback, and then we're gonna break a tune down, one of Greg's favorites and mine to boot. Called Sea Jam Blues, which Greg is going to open up and do an autopsy on, and we're gonna learn some things. So get your pad and paper out. But a quick word from our sponsors.
And now a quick word from our sponsors. Stay tuned. If you dig what you're hearing, friends, why not pick up some Jazz Mill and Soul Message Band merchandise? High-quality mugs and tees that are certain to make you the hippest cat around. Just take out your phone, ease on over to thejazzmill.net, click on the Swag tab, and get your order down. It's quick, it's simple, it's safe, and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
Portion of sales help jazz musicians against cancer at the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America and the ASPCA.
Well, Welcome back for more great music and lively discussion on the Jazz Mill with your host, Scott Henderson.
Well, it is that time again for the Jazz Flashback, where we pay tribute to the important players and performances from the past. What do you got for us this week, G-Rock? What have you been looking at?
Okay, I'm going to go back a couple days and then work our way up to today. So on March 19th, 1919, pianist Lenny Tristano was born right here in Chicago. And also pianist Marion McParland, she was born on March 20th, 1918 in Windsor, England. And also on today, tenor saxophonist Sonny Rollins, they recorded Pit-Up House with Clifford Brown and the great Max Roach. They did that in 1966, all before I was born. And also today is guitarist, my favorite, my absolute favorite, guitarist George Benson was his birthday today, and he was born in 1943 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The great
in, what, 77, I think. Hopefully he is well and intending to make lots more music. He really is wonderful stylistically. And I think he helped jazz cross over into the mainstream with the album Breezing and some of the other work that he's done over the years. And I know your guitarist from Soul Message Band likes him and likes Wes Montgomery. I know they have some techniques in common, the three of them, and I think that's a great way to get a certain tone out of a guitar. But yeah, those are great ones. Thank you for that. I always remember fondly those that have come before us, and I know you do too, Greg. Musicians are usually a very respectful group of people who have, gone before them, because, whatever our shortcomings are societally in terms of equal pay and treatment and all of those things. It wasn't so easy, 50, 60, 20 years ago even. There was a lot of oppression and a lot of really abhorrent behavior when it came to certain musicians. And it ain't over. It ain't over, and we've got work to do, but it, I suppose, is getting better. But I appreciate that about their good work, that they – we're strong enough to come through that and keep the music going, which is very much to their credit. Well, listen, Rock's Breakdown this week features an analysis of CJM Blues, which I think Ellington did back in 42, if I have it right, Greg. And it's been performed by, countless other jazz players, Dave Grusin, Django Reinhardt, Mingus, and we're going to hear a version by Oscar Peterson, where he is joined by Ray Brown on bass and Ed Thigpen on drums. And when we're done listening to that, our man Greg is gonna take us through it. We're gonna bust it open and talk a little bit about its composition. So enjoy this. Thank you. What are you hearing there?
Swinging. Swinging, swinging, swinging. So, like we talked about before, and this is for just the everyday average listener, seasoned listeners, they already, that already know what's going on. So no matter where you are in jazz, it's always fun to listen to something, and especially if you enjoy it. So you kind of maybe want to figure out what's going on, and you're not into theory of music or anything like that. So first of all, you want to hear, and there's also a live version of that with the same musicians. And
yes,
the only difference between the live version is Oscar Peterson starts soloing by himself. So obviously, first,
yes,
let's get the easiest thing down. It's instrumentation is piano, bass, and drums. So there's no other horn. There's no horn players. There's no guitar player. In this situation, there's just a trio of standard trio of piano, bass, and drums. So obviously,
yep,
it would be obvious, maybe. It's in the key of C, C jam blues.
Yep.
So in the live recording, Oscar Peterson is just pretty much soloing by himself, no accompaniment, and he's just, it's in a particular order, but he's just touching on the scales within the key of C. So
yes,
C major scale is C, D, E, F, G, A, B, and back to C. So those chords are given numbers, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's just like, if you're in the key of C, C is the 1, the 4 would be C, D, E, F. The 4 would be F. So you just count the numbers that way. This is for listeners that maybe are trying to figure out for themselves what's going on, not some, seasoned musician, because they would already know. So you listen to that. But in this case, they play the melody, and a blues in this particular case is 12 bars long. So the melody, it's a simple melody. It's repeated, not varied in any kind of way. So it's twice they do the melody for 12 bars each. So then when Oscar takes his first solo, there's a 4-bar break, and then the entire band comes in after the 4-bar break. They do that a couple of times. Well, the 4-bar break is just based on the 1 chord or the C, and he just solos over that for 4 bars. And then when the band comes back in, they start at the 1 and play the entire chorus of the blues for 12 bars. They do that a couple of times, which is interesting and makes the song interesting. And if there were other horn players or a guitar player in the band, they might take that when it's time for them to solo. They might take the same approach. Break for 4 bars on the 1, just play that, and then when the band comes back in, they play the blues, the 12-bar progression. They play the blues, and they do the break a couple times, and then they just continue the blues and no more breaks, and just playing and soloing over the blues. So the dynamics were great in this. They were swinging, and that's the main thing, is none of this means anything if you're not nodding your head or tapping your foot. They can can do all the tricks in the world. You got to be swinging, and it's got to feel good. So this is a fair, like a simple, a very, very easy, simple, if you want to get into jazz or you want to start, maybe let me figure out what's going on and try to figure out this. Very easy to figure this out, simple things. If you don't know anything about music at all, there's ways to look up, let me see what they're doing here. And there's ways to research that, and that's not hard at all. Or if you just, like I always say, if you just want to sit and listen and you don't care about what's going on, it just feels and sounds good, that's okay.
And
all of that is
it is okay. If you like
explanation,
it.
A very simple explanation, not intended for seasoned musicians for me to say this, because they know what's going on. And you might have somebody that's listening and listening to what I'm saying, but I would turn to that person maybe, and maybe their strong points are baking or pouring concrete or something like that. Or it doesn't matter.
That's right.
I get just as interested in what they're doing, and I would be in the same place there they could be right now if I was told to give a kind of break it down and tell me how to make a chocolate cake. I would be just as lost. So we just happen to be talking about music now, and you know, I'm a musician, so I should know this stuff, but I'm not a chef.
Yeah.
I'm not a mechanic. So everybody has a thing that they do, and it's all very important, and it's all you should approach it seriously if you want to know about it and you want to play. So then you learn from the, you know, you take little steps and take little baby steps, and then you pick up things as you go along. Oh, yeah, they were doing that in that particular song. But that's how things start. You know, you just kind of break it down basic and do that. There you go.
You got a chance of hearing it the next time you hear it, right, Greg? If you know what you're listening at, and so much achieved, and this is a great example. And thank you for suggesting it. The version, the longer version, people should look for. It's 9 minutes long. I didn't think folks would have the appetite for 9 minutes of it, but in this setting. But you should listen to it when you can. It's on YouTube, easy to find, and it's Oscar Peterson, Sea Jam Blues, Thigpen, and Ray Brown playing with him. But so much with just a note and a simple key, you know, C. The key of C is where a lot of, you know, very plain, simple music is often played. It's also often where it's sung, too, because it's, you know, approachable. But you mentioned one of my notes as I was listening was how crisp the break was that you referred to. And that's, you know, that's your rhythm section and Peterson knowing when to shut it down and then bringing it back up and finding that pocket immediately. I mean, it didn't take them any time to find it initially. And then, you know, there's always a risk. It'll take them a minute or two or a measure to find it again when they come off of a break, but no such trouble here. That's for sure. So great analysis, Rock. I appreciate that more than you know. And that is, you know, for me, I mean, I'm hardly above a real simple approach, an analysis of a simple song at its core. But, you know, you listen to Peterson's work on this one, and no two measures are the same. I mean, the guy has fresh ideas, and I think he could go around and around and around for days probably if he had to. Just had such a great imagination. And the ability to execute it too, which is, you know, the other thing. He had such talent, man. He was a real monster. So good stuff. Thank you for doing that, Greg. I appreciate it. Talk a little bit about what you guys are up to. The Soul Message Band playing actively all over the Midwest, Chicago. You guys are dominant here, and I know you'll be at the Green Mill on Sundays. You got a couple of sets there. Where else are you performing this week, Greg?
This week we'll be at the Club 4114 again on Saturday. We start at 7 o'clock, and it's open to the public and no age limit because it's a really good restaurant. They serve food. So there's families bring their kids and listening to jazz. And there's been occasion, I didn't mention this to you, but there's been occasion where a family came in and their kids were musicians in grade school or high school. And my big thing is giving kids a chance to play and to play with musicians like that are in the band we have. Everybody, Chris Foreman, Lee Rothenberg, and often the saxophone player. They're very warm, very nice people. And sometimes when the kids come up, you know, they didn't necessarily know they were going to play. And I always ask them, you know, do you have your instrument? And I will take any song that they know. It doesn't have to be a jazz tune. It could be a nursery rhyme. It could be anything. And for them to come up and play, and the way we treat them and the way the audience treats them, they just go home excited and can't wait to play again. And we do that at the Green Mill. We just did it past Sunday. A mother and father brought their son in. He was a high school drummer. I didn't know he was coming, and he was standing behind me, and the manager let me know. And I turned, I saw him looking, and I immediately called him up. I knew he played drums, and put him behind the drums. And
cool.
Doesn't matter whether you know the song or not. We know how to make kids feel good. And so that club at 4114 and the Green Mill, if you're with your parents, that's a good situation. And also, we can announce now that we're playing at Fitzgerald's also. I'm skipping in Berwyn. Find out where we are, you can go to soulmessageband.com and find that's our website, and you can find out wherever we are. But coming up this summer, they're flying us to California, San Jose, California, and honoring Chris and myself for playing the Hammond B3 and being so dedicated to Hammond B3. So we'll do a tour in California.
That's a big deal.
Going to Michigan pretty soon here, and the play in Ohio. So we're staying
busy. Look at you guys.
And we're
getting
ready to record two CDs.
You're recording.
So we're going to record with a blues player named Jimmy Burns. We're going to do his CD because he wants to. The record company says that they want him to sing some other kind of stuff. So we're going to do that, and then we're going to record another CD for ourselves. So staying kind of busy.
Outstanding. Yeah, I can see that, Greg. That recognition from Hammond for you and Chris. I mean, you guys have been walking the walk for, you know, 30 plus years with this instrumentation, and I think you'd be hard pressed to find two better ambassadors. Living the life and doing it, and like you said a minute ago, making your stage, your kit available to players, and you know, passing that torch. You have no idea how important that moment, that opportunity might be to a kid. I mean, how many times have you heard a kid say, "Yeah, you signed my baseball," talking about Cal Ripken or somebody, and it made me want to be a baseball player, and here I am in the big leagues, you know. So you just don't know what's going to, you know, really, really tickle a kid to great things. And I'm so glad you guys are going to have that experience. And you'll do us proud, man, representing out in L.A. is where you're headed. Is that the case?
Yeah, San Jose, San Francisco area. But then we're going to do a little tour while we're there already. But that's still in the works. So, but you know, I failed to give the date. It's August 12th that's our concert for the to be honored, and the festival concert that we play is on August 12th. But it's just an honor, and it makes me feel good that, you know, I love, because of my dad being a B2 player. I just love that instrument, and I just choose to, you know, be involved in that and be around that. And I have B3s behind me and to the right of me. I'm looking at one in the van. I don't even play, but I just I love them. So
well, you got a good ear, man. impeccable taste, and you guys know your way around these instruments like nobody I know. And August 12th, if any of that is screaming, Greg, I know you'll hip us in as to how to get to it and be able to maybe enjoy some of it vicariously, because boy, what a treat that would be to see you guys accept this great award and distinction, and to do it for, you know, Chicago, man. You're doing it for your hometown to some extent.
You
mentioned inviting people up to play if they have their instrument with you. You're up here my way, I think, on Saturday, right? 4114, which is not far for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll mm-hmm. pop by with my bagpipe, if you wouldn't mind. I'd love to.
Don't you play ukulele too? Didn't I see you on?
Well, I'd rather bring the bagpipe.
Okay,
it's been said. It's been said, but I think you'd really get a kick out of my bagpipe. Do you guys know Flight of the Bumblebee? Because when you play it on the bagpipe,
we'll get
close
to it.
Well, if you do, I'll try
to. Okay. And I got to say this also.
Right.
But I got to say this too. I owe you an apology. When the guest Carla was waiting to be introduced, I thought we were going to lose her when you told us about the workout, and you've only missed one day. You know, I thought she was going to hang up the phone then, but
she should have. She
did.
Probably should have.
Yeah,
she hung in there.
I apologize to you, buddy.
She hung in there. No,
that joke.
I do it to myself.
I apologize. I apologize to you.
You do leave
me
hanging.
We're going to lose
her.
We're going to lose her on this one.
We got to work
on
your fake laugh.
We're going to lose her on that joke. No, that was a good one.
We have to work on your
one. I got to remember that one.
Laugh. Yeah, that's a real beauty. I joined the gym yesterday.
Yeah.
You want to hear it again?
Only missed one day.
One of my favorites. Poor Susan. Now that you've heard it, you can start counting how many times I'll repeat it in our friendship, because poor Susan, she's got a Rolodex full of them, and she's like, not again. She finishes. You know what she does? She takes my punchline. She lets me do the whole setup, and then she says the punchline just before I can spit it out, and I think that's an act of cruelty. Meanest thing she does to me. She's a wonderful person, but boy, she does take my punchline and just so
well,
I can't.
What do you come up with? That's funny.
I got a million of them. I've only begun. All right, so I'll probably
see
you Saturday night with my bagpipe in tow.
I'm going to go get on here and work on Flight of the Bumblebee. Want to get it and work on it right now?
I do a pretty nice tiptoe through the tulips on the U. You probably can figure that one out without a lot of.
Right.
And my falsetto has been called scintillating, so there's that. But anyway, Greg, thank you for doing this today. I appreciate you more than you know, and we want to thank Carla Harris for her wonderful appearance. She's helping us become one of the fastest growing shows on the Blog Talk Network. I hope folks will be sure to tune in next week as we feature, this is Greg's idea, the good works of Burt Bacharach, who left us recently, and some of the recordings, the Dionne Warwick recordings and some of the others. We're going to play five or six or eight of his tunes, and just really dig into his wonderful compositions. And we lost another one, Greg, this earlier this month, Bobby Caldwell, who for me was pretty important. At least that one tune. He was good little composer. Not an old fella. He born in 1951. Singer, songwriter, musician. Released several albums spanning R&B, soul, jazz, and adult contemporary. But that one hit was his big claim to fame. But he went on to do some of the stuff from the American Songbook, which is really terrific if people haven't gotten onto that, they should take a listen, because his crooning is as good as the band that he surrounds himself with. But we're going to go back. We're going to hear the one that was his biggest hit. And this one is for Bobby. So for Greg Rockingham and me, Scott Henderson, have a wonderful week, folks. Much love.
Hey. I'm done.
I guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find the love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. From your love, you see, I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. I would.